So we're in recession. First recession in – are we in recession or are we going into recession? Recession is two quarters.
Is it?
Is it?
I think we're in it.
Because aren't we just one quarter of recession?
Oh, okay.
Depending on when you're listening to this. I thought it was two quarters was recession.
Right.
Yeah, maybe. Anyway. And our last recession was back in 30 years ago.
Wow.
And I was going 30 years ago. That would make it 1990.
1990.
Here we go. What were you doing in 1990?
1990, I just started doing comedy as my first gig. 1990 was a tumultuous year for me because I got sacked from my job.
Oh, from the – which job was that?
I was working in a PR company. I only worked there for a year, and I worked there in the 80s. And then so leaving Teachers College, I worked at the Red Cross for a few years as a field officer, like a public education.
Yep.
Then I got a job in public relations in the late 80s, and that was just like writing press releases and stuff, and the company went broke, and like, I was the first one to get sacked though.
So how did you make the transition from that? Was the comedy always
– I always wanted to do comedy, and, you know, I was in a band and stuff, and – and had been to a few, I hadn't been to that much. There wasn't that much comedy around in the 80s. There was a bit, but there was
so
like
when
the
you
last
say comedy,
laugh.
That means doing stand up.
Doing stand up. Yeah. So I started doing stand up in 1990. Yeah, did my first gig.
First gig, and the first gig was where?
At the Last Laugh.
Ah, the joke.
Upstairs.
Yeah, the great room.
Tim Smith was emceeing.
Yep.
Danny Katz was headlining.
Was it an amateur night?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And you did what, 5 minutes?
Yeah. Yeah, my first gig went well. The second gig wasn't that good, but the first one was all right.
Yeah, well.
So it was a big change for me that year, but it was a long time ago.
And you were single?
Yeah, off and on. I met Kieran in 99. I met Kieran before I was a comedian.
Right.
So I met her and
she
then.
She was around, yeah.
Well, so, yeah, we started going out in 90. Yeah.
Yeah. So and there lies the.
There you go.
The
30 years
the
ago.
Stepping stone into the career that is Dave O'Neill. Well, I was doing the Comedy Company 88, 89, and after I'd finished the first year of the Comedy Company 88, we did 32 hours, and then it was
that's
announced.
A lot, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, and then they said, we're going to do 32 for the next year, and I went, that's enough for me. I don't want to do it anymore. So I did the second year, 89, and then I said, I rang up Steve Izard, and I said, in 1990, I said, "You got anything happening?" He had a Tonight Show happening,
yeah,
which was Tonight Live.
I remember it,
yeah. And I wrote on that, and I remember the guys at Fast Forward seeing him in the cafeteria, and they thought that they go, "Aren't we good enough for you?" Because they just assumed I'd gone from Channel 10 to Channel 7.
Michael
Beach said to me, "Why aren't you on our show?" And I said, "I'm just tired. I'm just worn out from doing sketch comedy. I've done 64 hours of it." And but I left. So I kept on doing Tonight Live. I used to do crosses and stuff and stuff with Steve. And then in 91, I joined Fast Forward.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah. So that was a big changeover year for me as well.
And you did many memorable characters like the Soggy Pockets.
The Soggy Pockets.
They were funny. They were my favourite. They were the piss guys.
I love you, mate. Yeah, not a poof. I love you, mate.
That was you and Veach.
Michael Veach. The idea was that when guys get drunk, they get a bit loving and they get a bit cuddly.
Oh, yeah.
And they, I love you, mate.
When I worked in an office, we used to have Friday night drinks with the guys that I went to high school with, and we used to very much relate to that. Because you'd go to one of those bars in the city, and then the people just, blokes would get drunk and do all that. I love you, mate.
Either fighting or loving. The Whiz Bang Theatre Company.
They were great too.
Yeah,
that was Veach again.
Yeah,
Veach is the king.
He's the king. King of sketch comedy. He's the man. And what else did I do? I did a bit of, later on, that's of course where
Kathleen
Kim started. Kel sort of started with the Soggy Pockets and sort of developed, and then we became two guys that were sort of lonely guys who would hang out at a bar and try to meet girls.
Oh.
And that character then spun into Kel on the sketch, which was Kath and Kim.
We've been watching a bit of Kath and Kim. It's on Netflix now.
Yeah.
It's had a big resurgence, hasn't it?
And Channel 9 have just bought it again.
Oh, man, it's very funny, I tell you. Because
it holds up.
Yeah, it does. Because you know who loves it? My teenage daughter, who's 14, she loves it.
Yeah.
Because she loves the mother-daughter dynamic. We just watched the first two episodes.
Yeah, it's great. It's great writing.
It's very funny.
I remember reading the first episode and saying to the girls, because they were pressured in some ways to change it to make it more mainstream.
Yeah, yeah.
And I said, don't change anything. Don't change funny. It. You need to be. That was such a good script. And look, great script, great performances, great product. It was just a fabulous show to work on. Anyway, we've heard
catching lightning in a bottle.
Yeah,
that kind of thing. And then the second episode is the gay one where she thinks you could be gay, and the daughter Kim could be gay.
And
they're
upstairs trying on shoes. Yeah. And oh, that feels good. Oh, I'm gonna strap
but
it
I like
on.
Some of the more. Yeah. It's funny, Kitty, my daughter's picked up some quotes. She quotes, you know, like it's not special for you know. In the first episode, Cal takes Kath out for Chinese. Oh, she goes, it's very special. And Kim goes, not special for the 5 billion Chinese, is it? Kitty keeps quoting it. But I like some of the more, I like some of the subtle stuff too, like on the gay one where she makes you get a lift home with the Rotarians in the minibus.
Yeah.
It's made me laugh.
That's your bread and butter.
You can get a lift home with Rotarians.
Yeah, poor old Cal.
Yeah, I love all that stuff. Cal, poor old Cal.
She thought, and Cal had admitted that he had done things that were...
In the Navy.
In the Navy. And then he brought home some flowers and then he arranged them and he looked at it.
I know, he had his man bag.
Yeah, so poor old Cal was very, very in touch with his family. So nothing wrong with that.
What?
Yeah.
Now, actually, someone on our Facebook group asked this question and I always forgot about it. How can Kath live in a house like that when she's a divorced woman? So how can she live in... Because this person was suggesting that house is... Looks quite expensive.
Oh, yeah, but she would have got it in.
She would have got it in the divorce.
Yeah, of course she would have.
And the woman always seems to get the house by what I can observe with my friends who have been divorced.
Yeah, and the house isn't that good.
No, I think, and especially when you filmed it, it wouldn't have been. Nowadays, a house like that would be quite expensive, but back then it wouldn't have been that expensive. Sure. No,
and it's right out of Melbourne. It's like nearly an hour out of Melbourne, isn't it?
Where'd you film? Patterson Lakes?
Patterson Lakes, which is down near around Frankston. The bay. And yeah. I don't know this, but it was on a man-made canal that went out to the Port Phillip Bay, but we put a fence up so we thought they wouldn't live on. The girls thought it was a bit much for them to do living on water. That's why it's always got a high fence so you can't see the water.
There's a bit of an inside thing. Yeah, they wouldn't live on the water. No, they would not live on the water.
Because houses all around there had their own boats tied up to the back.
Oh.
Yeah, but...
I see. Well, that's the answer then, is that this person may actually know where the house is and go, well, how could she afford that?
Yeah.
But in fact, you're pretending that it's a cheaper house.
Yeah.
Well, you got your answer.
Yeah. Anyway, 1990, ask yourself the question, where were you
doing?
In 1991? It's a bit of an interesting...
You know, the question is now, though, what's Cal Knight doing now? That's the big question. Funny, I was thinking about this the other day. He would have had a... He only had one shop. Did he have one shop?
Yeah, but we did film in different locations, but basically
But do you reckon by now he's branched out and got 3 or 4?
Oh.
Or things have gone bad and he's got a van or something maybe.
Oh.
Making stuff at home.
Oh, good idea. I think
what do you reckon? Which way would he have gone?
I think they're semi-retired. And I think Cal would probably maybe do something at a farmer's market or something.
Yes.
Maybe he's got a specialty sausage that he only does at home.
Yes, you see, Cal Knight types of farmer's markets.
Yeah.
I'll be making these and they get very passionate.
Yeah.
He'll have the guy at the farmer's market that I go to sometimes, he has the fry pan going.
Yeah.
Try the fennel and pork, you know. Yeah. Like they're very...
And he'd probably have a sign up, as seen on Kath and Kim.
Yeah.
And Kath would be there in an apron taking the money and being, getting all right and, you know.
Or she could even have her own store selling soaps.
On the
site.
Absolutely. Oh, yeah. Wow. It's a world that we all love to be a part
speculate.
Of. We could reminisce about 1990. Kath and Kim didn't start till 2000. And I can tell you when I was approached to do Kath and Kim, I was approached to do Russell Coit at the same time.
Wow.
And I said to them, they said, can you do the pilot? And I said, yes, but I'm doing this other character called Russell Coit, who's also got a lisp. I'm a bit of a one because Kel's got a lisp.
He's got a lisp.
Hey, switch. How about I work my magic fingers? And Russell Coit has a lisp, which is, I'm Russell Coit and this is my backyard. And I said to the girls, you know, they've both got a lisp, but they're going to come out at the same time. They went, that's fine. I'm a bit of a one trick pony. That's the only best thing I can do. But so both around the same time.
1990. Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, is that the music? Enough reminiscing, I suppose.
Hello and welcome to Somehow Related. Now please welcome your hosts, Glenn Robbins and Dave O'Neill.
Wow. There you go.
Yeah, that's interesting, isn't it? Because because as you get up, I have to peg things in certain, because I peg things in terms of 88, 89. There's pre-comedy company for me and for you, 1990, when you left a normal job and you went into the industry. So it may have been a turning point for a lot of people in their
life. Also, 1990, pre losing my virginity, post. A little joke for you.
We do. You mark it, though. You do. You have to mark it.
You're right. It's starting comedy, yeah, but it's been so long now that, you know, I did have that thing where, I know you mentioned this, you watch shows and you can't remember ever filming them.
No, I see myself in a sketch and go, I'm doing that, I have no recollection.
I had that. Someone put up a sketch on Facebook of me on a Hey Hey sketch, me playing Sonny from Skippy. I have no recollection.
I know, and you walk in, you're going, sure, because your brain's going, it's me, therefore I should know what I'm seeing.
Well, initially I thought, oh, they made a mistake. I never did a sketch on Hey Hey playing Sonny from Skippy, but sure enough, there it is.
Yep.
It was me. All right, well, let's get our topics. It's hopefully Sam. She's been enjoying the reminiscing. And maybe, you know, like we said last time on the show or the time before, we were talking about getting stuff from drive-thrus, and then she had a topic on drive-thrus.
Yeah, she's
good. I wonder if she's going to hit us with some kind of nostalgia.
Oh.
Who knows? Because she's pretty crafty like
that. Oh, you reckon she's heard this?
Yes.
The first part and gone through her file and gone, let's go something nostalgic that might tap into your vast showbiz history.
All right. What is it, Sam?
Don Bradman and Kamal.
Wow.
Well.
Kamal? We were just talking about Hey Hey It's Saturday.
Yeah. Have I told that story before?
No. What, have you got a Kamal story?
Yeah. I played in there was a thing called the Variety Club, which was a showbiz charity. And it was a cricket day down in Melbourne. And I was opening the bowling.
Oh, God.
And Darren Hinch was facing. Tony Barber was up the other end.
Doing a little dance.
And Kamal was keeping. And as I'm running in, I'm going, well, this will never happen again in my life. It's like a dream you had when you had pizza. And as I came into bowl, I beat Darren Hinch outside the off stump, straight into Kamal's hands, and Kamal went, "Bowling Glen." Bowling Glen.
Well, maybe that's the connection. Did you notice that Kamal was good at cricket?
Well, he was keeping, so he's obviously put his hand up, and it seemed to carry.
I thought keeping, when I do cricket club, gigs at cricket clubs, I always pick out the fat guy and go, you'd be the wicket keeper, anyone last.
Because you don't have to run that much.
Like Booney was a wicket keeper, wasn't he? They're normally fat.
No, he was an opening batsman.
No, he's a batsman, okay.
Yeah. I opened the batting, I played in a charity match with Booney. I opened the batting with Booney at the MCG.
Oh.
Got bowled out third ball by Danny Morrison from New Zealand, caught by Pat Rafter in first slip. Let it go, again, Glenn, let it go.
Again, because you have told that great story how you went to the cricket and then you got on the minibus, and who drove the bus?
Because it was 80,000 people, Australia and South Africa.
Yeah.
You're going, they're making some serious money here. Oh, yeah. And then the guys, we left. They said, you want to come back for a drink at the hotel? I went, sure. We left and they carried their own gear, which I thought was pretty surprising.
Yeah.
Then they got into a little minivan, which again, I thought, pretty surprising. And then I was sitting up the back and I just heard from up the front the driver say, are we right? And it was David Boone driving the bus. I'm going, what the fuck? Surely they could afford a proper bus. It wasn't like one of those normal big bus. It was like
a minibus.
12-seater.
Yeah.
12-seater. And all the seats were full. And Dave Boone had to drive it. Anyway.
Hopefully he didn't have any stubbies on the way over, on his plane trip.
He's got the record, hasn't he,
for
Australia, the UK.
Booney.
Yeah.
Well, Kamal, I mean, Kamal is just one of those, he's like a crooner, isn't he? He's been a singer who's been around forever since the 60s, probably.
Yeah. Malaysian? Indian?
Yes. Yeah, Indian. Indian-Malaysian, I think. And he would have had a few hits in the 60s or the 70s, because by the time I knew him, he was sort of just like a bit of a novelty kind of thing, wasn't he, in the 80s? And
he had a big hit with, Sounds of Goodbye.
Elephant Song? Yeah, the Elephant
Song as well. Yeah. And he was on Spicks and Specks a lot.
Oh, I never went on with him.
Was it not a lot? Or did I just think he was on a lot?
Yeah, he was on a bit. But he was also
Was he ever a player on there?
I'm sure he would have been a guest at some point. But he was on Hey Hey a lot too.
Oh, he was big on Hey Hey. Yeah. What was the – why is
it – why are people so unkind?
Yeah. Because I'm, I dare, let's not get too, it's a bit dicey, but I dare say there was some racist comments made.
Yeah.
Let's not go there. But
we can't go there. But
we can't go
they
there.
They certainly went there on Hey Hey in the 80s, the 70s.
I know that he was good mates with Murdoch. What happened was, I think.
Didn't he live?
He lived with Murdoch. Yeah.
That's a bizarre story.
But didn't Murdoch bring him from, where did he live?
He's from Adelaide.
In Adelaide, that's right. And then Murdoch said, you should be in showbiz. And he took him to Sydney and allowed him to live with him in Sydney.
I don't think I've ever met. And his daughter was a singer for a while too.
Yeah, oh, really? Not,
I don't know if I've ever met Kamal.
I have, but I don't remember having much of a conversation. I don't remember. I just remember, you know, talking to him about how we're going to play the game.
The cricket.
More importantly. But, He was big. He was big on shows like The Midday Show, Ray Martin Show.
Yes.
And he was, you know, he had that beautiful tone.
That voice.
That big, yes. The voice. You speak like that.
That voice, yeah. Very good. And he's done ads and stuff, hasn't he? He's done ads.
Has he?
Yeah, he did a series of ads, funny kind of ads for some product. What was it? And actually, I know in the last episode we talked about.
Was it Dilmah Rice. Tea?
Oh, it was tea. That's it.
Yeah.
It was tea.
Yeah.
Yes. I was trying to think. Yes.
Yeah.
It was tea.
Dilmah Tea.
That's it. Yeah. Dilmah Tea. Kamal.
Yeah, we're walking a fine line here because we are doing an impersonation. Is it okay for us to do an impersonation of him? I don't know what the lines are.
Well, it doesn't matter.
Okay.
Doesn't matter. We're on a podcast, but he seems like a lovely person.
Good, you know, singer. I'm sure he's a survivor.
And he seems to have a bit of a laugh in himself.
I hate to ask the question, but is he still with us?
Yeah, Kamal's still with us.
Oh, good. Good. Hello, Kamal, if you're listening.
Hello, Kamal.
Yep. I hope you're doing well. And I dare say he's probably in his
70s.
Oh, no, he'd be older than that.
80s, yeah.
In his 80s, I think.
Well, the Don's not with us anymore. That's for sure. Don Bradman.
There was a heap. They put out a song, didn't they? Oh, Don Bradman.
Yeah, and Paul Kelly had one too. Yeah.
But that was put out when he was big.
Yeah. The thing I love about Don Bradman is in those days he had a job.
And played cricket as well.
Yeah, yeah. They all had jobs. He was a stockbroker for a while.
Was he?
Yeah.
So he knew what he was doing.
I love it. I love it. See, you know, I just think footballers were getting a lot less trouble if they had jobs. You know, they were garbos. Right.
Yeah, because now they're professional cricketers.
Oh, yeah. Or professional footballers. Yeah. And
there's a lot of they make a lot of money. And back then, they didn't make much money at all.
No.
And, you know, it was tough.
But the thing I remember about the Don was I'm not a big cricket fan. In fact, I've said this many times, but my wife has said the best thing about me is that I don't like cricket. That she is the best thing. Yeah. Well, she grew up with a brother and a father who watched a lot of cricket, I think, in summer.
I used to watch a lot of it. I don't watch it as much now.
Well, you're good friends with Shane Warne.
Warne and
the
I,
King.
Yeah, I saw Shane the other day. Actually, he's doing well.
Well, apparently he's a very good commentator.
He's a great
Everyone says he's a great commentator, which I don't think people expected.
Well, it's funny you should say that because we put on – he did a series on Foxtel recently basically telling his life story through cricket.
Mm.
And Selena doesn't like cricket. She likes Shane. And she said, I don't know anything about cricket. But that was fascinating.
Oh, there you go.
His turn of phrase is brilliant and he paints a picture really well and he's really insightful.
Yep.
He's very smart at reading people. He's very good. So, in other words, on the cricket field – he would work you out. Mm. A bit like you.
No, I'm not. But also I told you my friend Sam got a cricket scholarship for Mentone Grammar and he came from Doveton, which used to be a rough suburb, and he turned up and the other guy who got the cricket scholarship was Shane Warne. So he stopped playing cricket. And because he said Shane Warne. So Shane Warne's been living and breathing cricket since he was a kid.
He didn't know Shane could have played football.
He did football, that's right.
Yeah, yeah.
Remember when they employed him at St Kilda as like the health coach
or
something?
Yeah, it would be very motivational.
Yeah.
So the Don, I think he had you would even know what his batting average was.
Yeah, because that's like a somehow related. It's 99.9, something like that.
Yeah,
99.94,
I think.
Yeah, because that's also the post box of all the ABC post boxes around the country. So you know when they say post box at the ABC, 994 is the number because the head of the ABC in the 60s was a big Don Bradman fan, and he got chosen. He got to choose the number, and he chose 994. It's a true story, apparently.
That's a good bit of trivia.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I don't know much about the Don. But wasn't he – people said he wasn't that nice.
I think he was a bit of a stickler, a bit of old school. So because he went in to hold a powerful position
in cricket.
In cricket after he retired.
What are they called? He was a selector? Was he a selector?
I think he was – I
love it when they have a go at the selectors. Oh, the selectors are just – then what are they doing, the selectors?
But I think a lot of the generation that are probably finished playing now would have got to meet the Don and spend time with the Don. I think you're right. I think he was old school in his approach, and he and Kamal would get up and do a little song together.
So what was his? Because I don't know anything about Don Bradman really. He was a batsman, was he?
Batsman. He survived Bodyline. I think Bodyline was Bodyline.
Oh, it was a TV show on the ABC. Yeah.
Yeah, but you know what it was, weren't you?
No, it's about
where they bowled at the body and tried to basically either hit them or knock them out, and they stacked the field. So as he tried to fend it off your body, you just popped the ball up and you're out.
Who did that to? Did that to us or the New Zealanders? Or?
No, they did it to us.
Yeah, it must have been the
British. Like broke out over it.
So much so that they made a mini series about it.
Well, yeah, yeah. Was Gary? I think Gary Sweet played Don Bradman.
Of course. I love Gary Sweet. I remember when I went to the Adelaide Fringe years ago to do a show. You turn up and you go on different people's radio show to promote your show when you're in Adelaide. And Gary Sweet was doing Triple M 9 to 12 a.m., like Monday to Friday. And this was after he'd been on Police Rescue and everything. Yeah. He's famous, but he's from Adelaide. He's a very famous Adelaide person. And so I turn up to the studio and the guy goes, "Oh, no, you're not in the studio." I said, "No, I'm meant to be on Gary Sweet's." "Oh, he's on a bus." And so we drove around a bus and the suburbs. He's a good guy, Gary Sweet, too. And we drove around a double-decker bus and we set up the top. And he goes, "Oh, I'm going to drive past all my ex-wife's houses." "Oh, there, look at that one. Hey, stop the bus. Gary, stop the bus." And he's standing up looking. Bloody, she's put a pool in. Bloody hell. I paid for that house. Anyway, so he and what it was, listeners would turn up and get a dollar check signed by him. So he was giving away dollar checks to everyone. Signed by Gary Sweet.
And what was the point of that?
I don't get his autograph. You're in Adelaide. That's pretty amazing.
Big deal. Yeah,
it's a big deal in Adelaide.
He married that girl from Better Homes and Gardens.
Oh, yeah. She's lovely. Joanna Griggs. Yeah. Yeah. And there was a great photo of her on their honeymoon carrying a slab of beer in for him.
She flew to Italy to do a scene with me for Great Better Homes and Gardens as Kel in a butcher shop.
Really?
Yeah. Well, I'm going to say she flew to Italy. I shouldn't say that. She flew, but they did fly over to Italy, not to just me, but to do a thing on Kath and Kim.
Oh, wow.
And I ended up doing some because I had plenty of free time over there. I wasn't in the film that much.
Joanna so. Murray Griggs?
No, she's a playwright.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, you're right. anyway, don't rely on us for names, but we interviewed Gary Sweet on radio once, and he came in and he's like, "Oh, I'm a bit dusty. Had my girlfriend's birthday party last night." And look, he would have been 40 at least.
Yeah.
And I'm like, "Oh, yeah. How old was she?" Like, you know, fair question.
Yeah.
And he's like, "Oh, I don't want to tell you guys." Oh, come on. We're not going to say anything. This is off air. We're not going to say anything, Gary. Just tell us. How old is you? What birthday party was your? Yeah, it was her 21st.
Good work. On you, Gary. Gary. On your Don.
Anyway, I don't know how we got on to. We're talking about the Don.
He was knighted.
Oh, yeah, of course, yes. Yeah. Sir Don Bradman.
Sir Don Bradman.
Had Warnie ever met Don? He must have met him.
I'm sure he would have. Because Don was still around in that time. I think Don was – I think when Warnie was probably starting, Don was getting towards the end. But I must – look, next time I see him, I'll ask him if he's got any good Don stories. I dare say it would have been a handshake. And
hello, Shane. How are you?
Yeah, you're a good bowler. If I give you one piece of advice, it would be, you'd probably give it a bit of that.
Yeah.
But I don't know. He played for New South Wales. What else? I think he hit like 12 double centuries. I think his highest score was 334. And I think, what's his name? The guy who does the Fujitsu ads, Mark Taylor. actually, I don't know whether he came close or beat his score, 334. And kind of like, I don't know whether there was not reluctance, but there was kind of like, you didn't want to take the mantle away from the man. But 334, that's, you know.
Where was he born, Don Bradman? Do you know where he was born?
Oh.
Cootamundra? The Cootamundra?
No.
Am I getting that wrong?
No, he lived in. Oh, it's a beautiful.
Let's ask Sam. Sam. Yeah. Yeah, because I'm sure.
It's a beautiful little New South Wales town. And apparently.
Oh, yes.
It's very
I've just seen the sign, haven't I? I'm,
yeah.
I'm getting
Barrel. 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 Yep.
Not Cootamundra. Jesus.
Is it Barrel? Is it Barrel where Sam, he was born or where he lived?
I am pretty sure. I think you're right. But Sam, where was Don Bradman born?
Sir Don Bradman was born in Cootamundra in 1908.
So you were right.
Yes.
But he lived, what's Barrel got to do with it? Did he live in Barrel? I mean, there's a museum in Barrel. Is there?
That he spent his early years in the New South Wales town of Barrel.
We were both right.
Well done, Sam.
No, but we were both right. But I thought he was from Cootamundra. Because I remember that.
That's a better get than Barrel. Everyone knows Barrel. But to where he was born, you'd get on the trivia night, you'd probably get the special prize.
Yeah, especially the men would be going, no, it's Barrel. I'd be going, it's Cootamundra.
Trust me on this one, mate. Trust
Cootamundra.
Me. Yeah, you'd be the only table that'd get it.
Because you know how I remember that from, I just remember that song, John Williamson's song, Cootamundra Waddle.
See, that's how you remember everything.
Yeah.
Mm, that's smart.
Don't go looking through that hole. Remember that song?
Did you say before that someone else had written a song?
Paul Kelly wrote a Don Bradman song.
And how does it go?
It's really boring. It's one of those songs where he talks. He was the greatest cricket player in the world. You know, Paul Kelly's songs annoy me very.
Yeah.
I love his songs, but this one is not. It's for cricket fans, seriously. Yeah.
You know what Don Bradman was also famous for? You've probably seen this piece of footage. The way he would practice, he would have a bit of corrugated iron.
Oh, yes.
Up against.
I've seen this.
Outside the house, and he'd have a stump and a golf ball.
Yeah.
And he would because the ball would come randomly off the corrugated iron.
Mm.
So it meant that he got his hand eye, he really got good hand eye for moving that so quickly. And he would just go to tink. Imagine that though. Hey, Don, you know, half an hour was enough.
Yeah, come on to play. But if you ever, you would know more than me, but, what's his name? The golfer, the famous golfer who had all the trouble with the women. He was doing that when he was like 5 years old.
Oh, Tiger Woods.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
He was just practicing in his garage. His dad would make him.
Practicing what? Stuff with women.
When he just practiced stuff.
Practicing that other stuff. He was one of those, what do you call them? You know.
Child prodigy.
Yeah, he was hitting the ball a long way when he was about five. Mm. That's what you got to do. You got to instill it in them, you know, so they don't have any. And that's, you know. But I think. Having said that, in some ways that troubled him because he realized that he only felt defined and even loved in terms of hitting a ball.
Yeah, he had no childhood basically.
No, his father, the parents were separated, weren't they?
Yeah, I don't know, but I remember seeing footage of him on a Tonight Show showing off his skills when he was like six or seven.
Was it Johnny Carson?
Yeah,
probably was. Anyway. The Don.
Well, let's have some thinking music because I don't know. The Don. Anyway, let's have some thinking music. But I think there's an Adelaide connection just because I thought the Don was Adelaide based. But
now that's interesting.
But let's. But,
so what thinking music can we?
Well, can't we have Kamal doing something? We need a bit of Kamal magic.
Kamal on Hey Hey It's Saturday.
Why are people so unkind?
Yeah, there's Kamal doing his Dilma ad. There's Kamal doing, and I don't like doing things that are trying to be funny, but there is a on YouTube, there's Kamal doing, speaking a Lady Gaga song.
Oh, that'd be funny. That's always good.
I don't know what, I just remember seeing it somewhere, and it sounds great when he does it. Can we hear that?
Yeah.
And now for a reading from the Australian Radio Network. Ra ra ahaha, Roma ro mama, Gaga ooh la la. Want your bad romance? I want your ugly. I want your disease. I want your everything as long as it's free. I want your love, 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 love. I want your love.
Spoken by Kamal on behalf of the Australian Radio Network, written by El Gaga and Kay Robinson.
Poker face. Why are people so unkind?
Oh, very good. Very funny. Kamal.
It's good when people don't take themselves so seriously that they can't do stuff like that.
And he added on the end, why are people so unkind?
Why are people so unkind?
It'd make Daryl happy anyway if Daryl's sitting at home looking at some YouTube clips.
Yeah. I don't know what that was on. I'm not sure what that was from. I think that was outside of the Hey Hey thing anyway.
Well, you know, recently Daryl's been putting up a lot of old Hey Hey clips and stuff.
On the whole series.
On YouTube. Yeah. And just bits and pieces and stuff.
And my very first ever television.
Turned up?
Yeah.
did Tony Martin let you know that? Because Tony Martin always talks about the he seems to keep quite an eye on the Daryl Summers. And just look at what people are wearing is fantastic.
Yeah, it's a bit scary. The first time was 1983 or something.
Don't worry about where you were in 1990. Yeah. Where were you in 83?
All righty. Let's have a crack.
Oh. Okay, I'll go. I think that Don and Kamal met in Adelaide. And I reckon Don Bradman was an amateur singer.
Ah.
Kamal took him under his wing. Had a few support spots, didn't go that well, and Don went back into cricket. Maybe before cricket, he was an amateur singer like Kamal started out.
So they worked together, singing songs.
Yeah. Probably not.
Okay,
Don, you need a bit more stage presence.
I don't know where Kamal, did we say where Kamal was from? I don't know.
Adelaide, I think he's Adelaide.
Oh, you said Adelaide, yeah. I reckon Kamal is a big cricket fan. Because he, obviously from the fact he was keeping that day, and I reckon he has got the best Don Bradman memorabilia collection in the world.
Oh, that'd be worth a bit of money.
Yeah.
Sam, what is the answer?
Kamal recorded the song called I Was a Mate of Don Bradman's, which is actually a true story. They were great friends. In 1955, the first three bowls of summer, the young Kamal took a hat trick in cricket for Kensington, Bradman's Adelaide club. He was congratulating that evening by Sir Don Bradman. Sir Don Bradman and Kamal became good friends in the late 80s. Kamal's long friendship with the Bradman family led to the tribute song following Sir Bradman's death in 2001.
Wow.
You know Kamal could play cricket. You've seen Kamal in action.
Wow.
Mm.
God, well done, Kamal.
You have been listening to Somehow Related with Glenn Robbins and Dave O'Neill.
We should get someone to write a song about you and me.
Yeah.
Being friends.
Paul Kelly should write one.
Do you know Paul Kelly?
No. Met him once.
I've met him a couple of times. He's a good guy.
He's a great guy. I've been listening to some of his music. I mean, I've always loved Paul Kelly. I remember seeing him when he was Paul Kelly in the Dots in the 80s. Fantastic.
How does he sing? Just give me a little bit of that.
From St Kilda to King's Cross.
Eating a sausage roll with Dave and Glenn.
We've got Glenn Robbins. He's a funny guy. And Dave O'Neill. They're funny guys.
And then we were riding on the number 27 tram over to the MCG. And they were Dave and
all
Glenn.
All that land and all that water. That's a great song, from St Kilda to King's Cross. But you know, he had a very famous song, Who's Going to Make the Gravy? Really sad, you know. Yeah. But you know, it's a great Christmas song.
Ooh, wow, that's powerful.
Who's going to make the gravy? Because the dad's in jail.
That brings tears.
Who's going to make the gravy? Oh, wow. Anyway. One Christmas Eve, I was walking down the street with Kieran, and Paul Kelly was coming up towards me.
And what day? Christmas Eve.
And I said to Kieran, hey, should I yell at who's going to make the gravy tomorrow?
Oh, and you didn't.
Oh, I didn't.
Because he probably had it 18 times that day. Well, good call, though. Good
Christmas Eve?
Christmas Eve.
Who's going to make the gravy?
He would have nodded to that. He would have gone.
Oh, I don't think so. I think he would. I think he suffers fools somehow. I don't think he would have gone. Oh God.
He's fairly reserved, but I've always found him pretty chatty. In the short time I've spent with him. But what do you get sung out at you?
No, I've had. Well, hey, fatso.
Yeah, not. What do I get? I get.
You get.
I get Coyte.
Coyte Russell.
Yeah.
Cal? A bit of Cal?
Cal. hell?
Funny guy? I get funny guy.
I get where's Kath?
Yeah, that's do the walk.
Yeah, do the funny walk. Yeah, I don't. People generally don't. I normally get oi.
And I tell you what, if you're like, you know, Matthew Richardson, the former Richmond footballer, he does, when he gives his talk at footy clubs, I've done gigs with him. I did the great Warragul Greyhounds with him, and he tells the story of what he gets up in the morning, he walks out his front gate, someone in a white van yells out, "You can't fucking kick, mate." And then he walks along further, an old lady says, "Oh, you're the guy who can't kick." He said before 9 a.m, he's had about four people say to him,
"Really?
Yeah, you can't kick." But he goes through all his stats, and he was one of the best goal kickers, apparently.
I don't really follow the football, but could he kick?
Yeah. But he had a reputation for missing occasionally.
By shanking it occasionally.
Yeah. Well, Mick Molloy actually said a very funny joke on the radio this morning. Matthew Richardson's partner's expecting their second baby, and apparently it's kicking a lot, but not in front of the goals. Go, Mick. Good joke.